And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, how can these things be? Now, what Nicodemus was asking about was that business of being born again and born of the Spirit, and Jesus' assertion that no one enters the kingdom of heaven without these things. This was all flabbergasting to poor Nicodemus. For even though Nicodemus had come to Jesus, albeit by night, so that he wouldn't have to answer any embarrassing questions from his colleagues about his opinion of this Galilean rabbi, although Jesus had received Nicodemus, who came to him confessing that Jesus was a teacher come from God, because no one could do the signs that Jesus was doing unless God was with him. In spite of all that, Nicodemus was still a Pharisee. And the cornerstone of the teachings, the traditions that the Pharisees passed on generation after generation was this: a person enters the kingdom of God by obedience to the law. That's what makes for righteousness. That's what allows one to draw near to the holy and almighty God. And Jesus, with all this talk about these second births and the Spirit's work, was basically demolishing this cornerstone of the Pharisees' teaching. How can these things be? Asked a flabbergasted Nicodemus, shaking his head. When I got to present the Bible study to our local pastor's meeting a few years ago, we looked at this gospel reading together. And one of the things that the English translations can't quite capture is the prominence of a particular Greek word in that dialogue between Nicodemus and Jesus in the first 9 verses of chapter 3. The Greek word is dunomai, and it literally translates as to be able to do something or to have the power to accomplish something. And if you think for a moment, you'll see that in the English language, we've borrowed that word quite a lot. And you know, think what we call the generator at a power plant, a dynamo. Or think of the explosive, dynamite. Or think about how we refer to a person who has a really strong presence and charisma. That person is dynamic. Now, dunamai often gets translated as can, but I think that obscures the issue of having the power, the ability to do this or that. Anyway, with this in mind, let's listen to Jesus' and Nicodemus' dialogue once again. Nicodemus begins by telling Jesus that he knows that Jesus is from God, because no one has the power or ability to do the signs that Jesus does unless God is with him. To which Jesus responds, unless a person is born again or born from above, he does not have the power or the ability to see the kingdom of God. To which Nicodemus responds, how does a man have the power or the ability to be born when he's old? He doesn't have the power or the ability to enter his mother's womb a second time and be born, does he? To which Jesus responds, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he does not have the power or ability to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus then explains about the flesh giving birth to flesh and the Spirit giving birth to spirit, which provokes Nicodemus' final despairing question, how do these things have the power or the ability to be so? Now, I belabored all that because when you catch this aspect of the dialogue, you begin to sense that while the second birth and water and the Spirit are all part of this, the real issue for Nicodemus is how one comes to have the power or the ability to be part of God's kingdom at all. And the first answer to that question is this: the power does not come from the flesh. That is, it doesn't come from the nature or the character or the ability that you and I have inherited from Adam and Eve. The power, the ability to be part of the kingdom of God comes from the Holy Spirit, usually received in the waters of holy baptism. And just when you think we're in the danger of getting all kind of Pentecosty again with this reference to the Holy Spirit, we in fact turn toward the Trinity. For God the Father so agapes, loves the cosmos, that he gave his only begotten Son as a sacrifice, so that whoever believes in him by the power of the Holy Spirit has eternal life. And there you have it, the mystery of the Trinity in one sentence. Now, we could be here the rest of today and on into tomorrow if we wanted to delve into the mysteries of how one God exists in three persons, the Father being begotten of none, the Son eternally begotten of the Father, the Spirit proceeding or going forth from both of them. But that's not why we observe Trinity Sunday year after year. This is not a day set apart in order to confound you or make you feel dumb. It's a day to rejoice. It's a day to rejoice in knowing what sort of life you have received from God. For just as God is triune, three in one, the eternal life that you have in him is shaped by the Trinity, but not quite in the way that you'd expect. But one last thing from Nicodemus and Jesus. After Nicodemus cries uncle on that whole business of having the power, the ability to enter the kingdom, Jesus gently chides him, asking, "Are you a teacher and you don't know the things that we speak of? We speak of what we know. We give witness to what we have seen." Now, this knowing that Nicodemus didn't have, the understanding that he was lacking, was just a kind of plain intellectual information. He literally didn't know about the Spirit working faith in order to give a person a new life, because Nicodemus thought that the individual believer had the responsibility to make him or herself right with God. But Jesus claims that there is a way to get this knowledge, this intimate and deep and life-changing knowledge, this knowledge that is not merely intellectual information. And this comes, he says, from the testimony of those who have seen the kingdom, of those who know the Father's work. Namely, it comes from Jesus and from John the Baptizer, who have both announced that the kingdom of God is at hand, and that now is the time to repent and believe. They know of God's love, they know of his grace, they know of his mercy, and they are making it known. Nicodemus and Jesus have been talking about how one gets the power, the ability to enter the kingdom, and Jesus declares that this power is simply given to us. It's a gift, freely given from God's love. And to enter the kingdom is to have eternal life. For the Father is life and love itself. He is grace and mercy. He is infinite and almighty. He fills all things with his fullness. But from eternity, essential to his nature, he as Father had a Son upon whom to shower his love. For love is never content by itself. Love always seeks that which it can love. So from eternity, the Father is the Father of the Son. And likewise, as the exact image of the Father from eternity, the Son is the Son of the Father. And in love, he seeks to do the Father's will in all things, not because he's somehow forced into it, not because he's of lesser rank, but simply because love also delights to serve. And that is not the end of it, right? The Father and the Son send the Spirit to bring forth the knowledge of their love and to give light to all. The love of the Father and the Son is not content in itself. It wants to be poured out, to be known. And so the Spirit goes forth, and the Spirit gathers you. And this is how you take your place in the life of God. This is where you get the power or the ability to share in eternal life and to enter into the kingdom. The Spirit comes to you and opens you to receive life and forgiveness and love in Christ, so that you believe in him and trust in him and know him. The Spirit brings you to Christ and joins you to Christ. And then Christ brings you to the Father, making you a co-heir, making you brother or sister by sharing with you all that is his. He brings you to the Father so that in him you are a beloved child with whom the Father is well pleased. The life that you share with Christ in God is a Trinitarian life. It's a life of love. You are loved, you are gathered, you are given new life, and then you are sent to love. Here is the glorious mystery. The Father gives the Son sends the Spirit gathers you to the Son, and the Son brings you to the Father, and you are welcomed into the household by the Father, just as the father of that famous parable welcomed back the prodigal son. And now you have eternal life, filled with his grace and love. Alleluia. How can one have the power or the ability to enter the kingdom? By being given it in Christ through the Spirit with the Father. So rejoice, my dear friends. God's life is yours. So go live it. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who with the Spirit and the Father is one God, now and forever. Amen.